Academic Aesthetic number 177 for Thursday, May 26, 2011. I'm Aaron Smith, the art guy, and WordPress hates me. This episode of Academic Aesthetic is brought to you by antibiotics and cough drops. You see, early last week, a combination of lots of talking, occupational hazard of teaching, go figure, and post-nasal drip caused by a sinus infection made me lose my voice. It's better now, but I can only talk so long before my agonized squeaks become a source of amusement for all around me. So, submitted for your approval is an interview of me done by Dr. Kavita Mittapalli, someone whose name I most likely just mispronounced horribly, so I won't try to say it again. The good doctor visited one of my first grade classes last week, this was before the whole AWOL voice incident, and recorded a conversation with me afterwards. I rambled on and then made the bad decision of requesting a copy of the interview. And I still haven't learned, as I'm now making another bad decision and playing it for you. Enjoy.
Okay, so have you been on any other STEP grants? Any other grants other than the STEP grant?
No, I have not, and this is only my second time on STEP.
Okay.
My first time was early on. It might have been the first year, because I remember the logo being created my first year in STEP. And I sort of...
Which was in 08, though.
Yeah, that might be it.
So then you took a break, and then...
I took a very long break. Before this position, I was a traveling art teacher.
Oh.
And being a traveling art teacher is incredibly fun. I got to see so many students.
Mm-hmm.
I blame my problem with names on that. I got to see so many teachers and learning styles. It was incredible. And I had very, very, very little free time.
Okay.
So after the first year, I said, wow, this is awesome. I'm so glad I did this. I don't think I could do this again. And at the same time, other people in my building who were on the STEP program said, okay, well, we don't mind doing this again, but if we do this again, you're going to be the driving force.
Okay.
And I thought, maybe next year.
Right.
And I kept thinking that until this year.
Right. Okay. So how many other teachers are there who are participating in the STEP?
In this school, we have Mr. Tanner, one of our course teachers, and Mr. Fagans, who is our band director.
Right.
Who
right.
Are both
Michael,
doing things.
Michael.
Yes, Michael Fagans.
Yeah.
Who, he's really catching on to it. I like some of the stuff that he's been doing with his kids and stuff that he's been posting. Mr. Tanner comes out with these great ideas as well, and I love bouncing things off of him because he always has these things to throw back at me.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. So, how long have you been teaching?
About 10 years.
10 years? And in this school?
No, this school's only been around for 2 years, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be just Pullen, which was the Creative Performing Arts Academy for Prince George's County. And they realized that the number of students that wanted in was just too much for that school to handle. There was this huge waiting list. So they have Pullen handling northern Prince George's County, and they started this school last year to handle southern Prince George's County.
Okay.
And some of our staff came from that school. Some of that staff were pulled in from other sources, like me.
Hmm.
So it's a lot of fun, but I left my art on a cart in the car position for this, which some days I miss. But it's the paints.
Yeah.
I tell people I traded my paintbrushes for a computer lab. But every now and then I just walk into one of the art rooms here and I just... I smell moldy tempera. That takes me back. Oh, the allergies.
The allergies.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's all fun.
Yeah. Okay. So what has been your experience with STEP? What equipment have you received? What have you used? And what kind of professional development have you received?
Okay. The main thing that I love receiving from STEP so far as hardware is concerned is the microphones. They gave us a few at the beginning. They gave me this awesome snowball microphone that I've used for recording an entire class on occasion.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I love that snowball microphone. Every now and then, I do some podcasts on the side with non-school things.
Yeah.
And some of the people who podcast with me
you
use
have a radio
microphones.
Voice.
Why, thank you. I also have a great face for radio, but let's not talk about that. Some of them have Snowball microphones, and they sound so crisp and clear, and I'm on a headset that I paid $20 for, and I'm thinking, I've got a Snowball microphone at school. That would breach so many ethics about me if I brought this home, but maybe I'll ask for one for Christmas. I'll ask for one for Christmas, because I love that microphone. What I value more than the hardware, I probably shouldn't say this because then maybe next year they won't give us any hardware, but I value most of all the inspiration that we're given. You can know how to do a whole bunch of things and say, well, I'm going to do that sometime. I would say most of the people who go to MSET, our state conference for technology, go there and they see all these wonderful things that they'll do next year. Next year is like tomorrow from Annie. It's always, it's not next year yet. This encourages its participants to actually go out there and try something and do something. That's when you realize, oh, this is so easy, or, oh, these are things I didn't think about. How can I adjust my lesson to work with this? They've introduced me to some software that I didn't know existed, like Cam Studio, which I love. If I didn't use a Mac, I would have Cam Studio on this computer, and I would be recording everything to make video tutorials with it. I have my students use it as an assignment in middle school.
It doesn't work on Mac.
No, but it doesn't need to work on Mac, because if you're running the most recent version of Macintosh, the functionality of Cam Studio is built in. There's a program that's been on the Mac for years called QuickTime Player, which is mostly used to record movies. But it has this option of recording as well, including recording the whole screen. So I use that to record all my tutorials for my students. Unless it's Windows-specific software, but that's a whole other story. So little tidbits like that, I gather. But the biggest thing is the inspiration to start doing more.
So who is your coach? Who's the one who comes to, that you've been talking to?
It's a team. It's Joy Claude, who I worked with many years ago when I was a department chair at Forestville, right down the road, actually. And
Carmela, right?
Carmela Doty, who is a wonderful person as well. They're both full of so much information. It's great to talk to them every time. It helps that I knew them before I came to this building. So they're like, oh, Aaron, nice to meet you.
And
yay, I can drop names now.
Okay. So in your experience using technology, in whatever form that you're able to, have you seen any changes in students in terms of their behavior, learning, anything?
That's kind of hard to assess just because I teach in a computer lab. So to see the changes, some of it is comparing apples to oranges, because before it was, I'm a traveling art teacher, there's another teacher in the room who set discipline, and now I'm in here. I would like to say yes, there's a big difference. Part of it, I will admit, is the ooh, shiny thing. If you have this shiny thing that you wave in front of somebody, it begins to hypnotize them, like, oh, why, yes, this looks like a fun activity, I think I'll do this. Paints can give you the same effect. Origami, giving them a sheet of square paper and telling them how to make a flapping bird, can give you the same effect. Beyond that, a lot of what I try to do in the classroom is stuff where a student, after my lesson, would be able to go home and on their own computer do a similar activity just for the fun of it, without being given an assignment, without being told this will be for a grade. I don't want a student to ever have to ask in my classroom, well, when am I going to need to know this? Partially because if they're asking that, that's not really what they're asking. They're asking, why are you making me do this? But also because I want it to be fun for them. And if you're doing activities that are fun to you, the learning will happen. Take a look at Pokemon. People are learning all kinds of wonderful facts about Pokemon that have no application in the real world whatsoever. But they're learning about it because it's fun for them. So I sort of rambled on there. I forgot my train of thought.
In terms of learning and motivation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm seeing it.
Let's take today's example, for instance. Plant growth, life cycle.
Yes.
What made you use that with the colors? It was fascinating to me. I thought, are you a biology teacher? Then you are.
Well, I'm an art teacher.
Yeah.
If you're certified in art, you know every subject. You have to, because art is universal.
Yes.
It's like math. It relates to everything. So when I was a traveling art teacher,
That position was called Intro Related Art. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go in and teach just an art lesson for art's sake. I had to go in, and I was taking up that teacher's class time and teaching a lesson that reinforced whatever curriculum they were covering at that point.
Okay.
You're doing a lesson on fractions? Okay, here's an origami lesson. Every time you fold this, you're dividing in half.
Mm.
Now I folded it again. Now we have to multiply or divide our fractions.
Mm-hmm. But today you didn't have another classroom teacher. So what?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
But it's essentially the same thing. I am reinforcing classroom curriculum. They're learning about the life cycle in first grade.
They are.
And they're covering writing techniques, which we didn't get to in today's lesson, but we'll be getting to next class.
Yeah.
Those are part of the first grade curriculum. So that's in my lesson plan. And I added the art on top of that, and I added the technology on top of that, and it's all woven together. They're not going to look at that and say, oh, this is a biology lesson. You and I will.
Yeah.
But they're looking at it as, oh, this is fun to monitor the computer.
Yeah.
And
I'm
oh,
drawing.
By the way, they're
it's
learning.
Like I'm drawing a picture.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But
yeah.
For them, it's a second recess.
Yeah.
They don't realize that that is an actual class sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is great for me, because I have fewer discipline problems.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school, that's another story entirely. With some particular kids, but it's still getting there. There are some students now where I don't have to encourage them to work on an assignment. I have to encourage them to, okay, you've already handed in the project you can make using this program. I'm thrilled you love this program. Could you stop using this and work on the next project? Because you've done three of these now. They all look awesome.
Yeah.
But please move on.
Right. Right.
I have a few students that are like that, actually.
So do you get to work with the classroom teacher every time you plan a lesson?
Yes.
Do you borrow?
I'm encouraged to. And even if I wasn't encouraged to, I want to. I can't do that so much for middle school with my 6th through 8th graders, but for elementary school, all my lessons are built on a hook, and that hook is whatever they're covering in their first grade class, in this case, the first grade lesson, or their second, or fifth, or kindergarten, or whatever.
So why not with middle school?
Middle school, I will have 6th through 8th grade in the same class, so it's hard to tie it in with a specific course that they're studying, because they all have different curricula.
Right.
Am I using the right plural for that? I don't know.
Curricula?
One of those.
Yeah.
We can edit this part out.
Curriculum, curricula.
One of those. Well, they have more than one curriculum, let's put it that way. And sometimes they'll line up perfectly, and other times they won't. So
How do you manage three grades in one class? So what do you teach then on a typical day?
Well, this quarter I revamped my curriculum entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I teach really depends on what the students want to cover. For a while, for the first year and three quarters I was in this position, I had a very linear curriculum. We will cover this, then this, then this, then this, then this.
Right.
And every now and then a student fell behind or had to catch up or whatever. Some of them loved the lesson, some of them hated the lesson. And I found that I was struggling trying to get everything done. I've been looking at a lot of technology teachers and language arts teachers who have started making their classes into more of a game. There's a program called WOW in School, where it's not something that I personally would be rooting for teaching in this middle school, but they use World of Warcraft, the video game, to teach language arts. At the same time, they're playing that game, it's a fantasy setting, they're reading J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, they're drawing correlations, they're writing scripts, they're making movies, all these wonderful things. And they don't think about grades, they think about points. Because in most games, you earn experience points, and you level up, and you have more abilities. So what I did, and actually let me pull it up to show you real quick. Let's not show you today's quiz, that's something else entirely. What I did was I took my lessons, and a lot of them were the same lessons I was using before, but I set it up in tiers.
Okay.
Yes.
Like Moodle.
So yeah, this is all on a wiki that I made for my students. And it starts off with some overviews. And most of the stuff I covered the first day of class, saying, by the way, this is not the same class you took before. Some of my students I had last year, they're repeating the course.
Oh, okay.
This is like PE, where you can repeat the course every year and still have it be meaningful.
This is grade 6?
6, 7, and 8 all take the same thing. So level 1, these projects are incredibly easy.
Okay.
They can finish these in a day.
Yeah.
Level 2, slightly more difficult, might take them a couple days to work on. Level 3, they're a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
They have to earn a certain number of points to get to level 2, earn a certain number of points to get to level 3, etc.
Mm-hmm.
they can do a few of these level one projects and get to level two. They don't have to do all of them. So if there's a project they don't like, mm-hmm. they can skip it.
Okay.
If they're level three and they want to go back and do a level one project they haven't done before, they can go back and do that. This is great for me because it's so modular. If I have this inspiration on the drive home one day and say, I want to do a lesson on this, I can throw it in here. I don't have to worry about, well, I don't have the time. What lesson should I get rid of to teach this lesson? The students that look at it and think it's going to be awesome are the ones who do that project. The students who don't think that's awesome will do something else that I still think is awesome because I wouldn't have put it in here otherwise.
Right.
And I find that there's a lot more empowerment. They're the ones picking their projects, so they're the ones who want to finish that project. And there was one week where after one week I had to go home and grade 80 projects. That's not every week. Thank goodness. I'd be looking into early retirement if it was, I think. But that weekend, as I'm sitting here grading 80 projects, I'm thinking, my word, I have never had to do this much work on the third week of the course. Students the last week of the course realizing they have to do all this makeup work, yes, but not the third week. I haven't even handed in my progress report grades yet. They're that interested. I had to cut it off at level five because I have three students that are level five now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking to hand in more work. I go home and I'm inspired to create more projects to keep those students busy.
Or else they're going to disrupt the class.
Actually, those particular students, I set up something called Endgame.
Okay.
Which in a lot of massively multiplayer games, there's a level cap, right?
Okay.
In World of Warcraft, for example, you get to 85. You can't go any higher in levels. There's a bunch of activities specifically designed for level 85, and many people argue that's when the game starts to become fun. I set up Endgame for my students here because they've handed in so many projects, they're guaranteed to get an A. That's something else. I only accept A's. If they hand it in and it's an 89, I tell them what they need to fix and tell them to hand it in again.
Okay.
I will not put it into my gradebook unless it's an A.
Right.
If I'm letting them hand it in more than once to improve their grade, then I expect mastery. So every student that gets less than an A is missing something.
Right. Are you able to share this link with me? Is it public or?
Oh, certainly. It's MrSmithClass.info, and it is a work in progress.
Well, that's fine.
It's been the subject of several of my most recent podcasts, and it'll be the subject of my next one because I need to do a podcast explaining how this is working. My last one was explaining the setup and the decisions I'd made for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And now I need to go in and think about how many points I'm offering per project.
Okay.
Do I think that's balanced? How many projects I make due during a week? Our grading system requires at least one grade entered every week.
Okay. Is it okay if I included the link in the report?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, okay.
Certainly.
Just an FYI. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. And
no reason
matter of fact,
that.
I like constructive criticism. One of the problems I encountered with this was there are other teachers who have done a system like this.
Yeah.
None of it's documented. There was like one news story about a college professor who taught graphic arts.
But you're supposed to document it in the STEP grant, right? Somewhere at the end.
Oh, this isn't. I've been documenting my podcasting and everything.
Oh, okay.
This is my middle school curriculum, how I've been doing it. Where we've actually been told to expand upon our middle school curriculum because if you look at it, right now there's Microsoft Works and Office. And when I was hired, I was told by my principal, I expected you to do more than this. And I said, thank goodness, because I'm going to.
Yeah.
And then I made a good argument for letting my students blog in class, but that's another story entirely.
And can you share the podcast link with me?
Oh,
if you can email it to me at some point.
I can. I've been cross-posting because I had a podcast that I was doing before I went into the STEP program.
Yeah.
So everything I put on the STEP podcast, I also put on my personal podcast, which is academicaesthetic.com.
Oh.
That I know of, I was the first visual arts teacher to start podcasting.
Okay. Oh.
I don't put that on the site because if I do, I'm sure there's going to be one art teacher out there that says, no, I was the first. And if they were, awesome. But when I started podcasting, I looked for visual art teachers. There weren't any, so I started making mine.
Oh, okay.
And now there's a whole bunch of them that podcast a lot more often than I do, and I'm thrilled because I get more stuff to listen to in the car.
So in this school, you said that there are two other teachers. Do you get to work with each other in a collaborative manner, or everybody's doing their own stuff, and then you
We do some stuff collaboratively. The blog that Mr. Fagans uses, for example, to communicate with his students and occasionally give them various extra credit projects or homework projects or whatever, I'm the one who helped him set that up, just because I happen to know one or two things about WordPress. So I got that running for him. We bounce ideas off of each other a lot, especially when it comes to technology. Since we're all technically on the art team, we have our collaborative planning days and our team meetings where we meet there as well. But a lot of stuff we just like, when we gave our presentation to the staff, for example, on podcasting, we planned the whole thing without meeting face to face. I set up a Google Doc and threw in some things that I wanted to cover. Mr. Fagans took a look at it. He threw some things in. Mr. Tanner took a look at it. And when we all met together to give the presentation to the school, that was the first time we met face-to-face and said anything about it. But it worked out great.
Yeah. So what kind of support are you receiving from the administrator, from the principal? How supportive is he?
I have pretty much a green light for anything I want to do. Granted, I'm not going up to Mr. Goburn or Dr. Payne and saying, by the way, I'd like $53,000 to buy X. But if I'm asking for permission for something, I'm always getting it. They're very supportive in that regard. Mr. Goburn has been asking questions about technical things for his podcast and stuff. And it's been a lot of fun with working with them. I think partially from the step and what we're bringing into the school with our expertise, I think that might be why when we got some federal money to do a computer refresh and we got a certain amount of money to spend on extra things, I went to Dr. Payne, not literally on my knees, but I was thinking about bringing a mat over to get on my knees and beg her for the money for a mobile computer lab. And before I could ask her for that, I pretty much just said, well, we have this money we need to spend on technology. She said, how about a mobile lab? Okay. You're not going to twist my arm behind my back. Here's the labs that are available. There's this BC lab and there's this Mac lab. Right. You know my bias. How about we get two Mac labs? Again, you're not twisting my arm here. So it's great working for an administration that understands the value of technology and really sees how it can further learning in any subject. Because those labs are not just for me.
Okay.
Far from it. One of those labs is for upstairs, for the upstairs teachers to use.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And one's for downstairs.
Two labs.
Technically, it's four cards, but there's 15 computers in each.
Ooh,
yes.
Okay.
Whoever was in charge of getting us that federal grant for the computer refresh, I am forever their fan and will make them cookies at a moment's notice.
So, as a result of STEP, have you learned any more technology than you already knew?
Yes.
What's that?
I would say a good portion of it was how to get it into the hands of my students. Like I said, I've been podcasting since before STEP started. I've been blogging for much longer than I ever thought blogs would be worthwhile for students. Matter of fact, I remember going to my first MICA conference back before they changed it to MSET.
Yeah, yeah.
Sat in a presentation on blogging for students, and I'm sitting there thinking, I've seen blogs.
Yeah.
I do not want my students blogging. I have no idea what this is. This is horrible. I don't like this. Yeah, I'm on the other side of the argument now. When you give the students the ability to do this, you get awesome things in response. Mm-hmm. And STEP has encouraged me to put more of that into the hands of my students. There's several projects on here that are podcasting or recording using Cam Studio, something that can be put up on a podcast because of STEP. Otherwise, I had one assignment that I did every now and then, but I wasn't a big fan. STEP encouraged me to revise that lesson and rework it until it was something that I was very happy with, and I'm getting great results from.
Great. Any challenges along the way?
There's always challenges.
With the grant?
Not so much with grants, but you can't be a technology teacher without challenges. There's always going to be a day where the internet is slow or off. There's always going to be a day where somebody downloads a virus or something. There's always going to be a day where someone forgets to plug something in.
Yeah.
I like those days because I plug it in and I look like a hero. But you deal with them. I mean, life before computers was not without challenges either. We just created one set of challenges for a different set. So you look at it, you find a solution, you remember that next time something blows up, and you figure out how to do damage control.
Right.
If I stopped doing technology because of the challenges, well, there's a lot of life that I'd have to stop doing because of the challenges, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not one to shirk from that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Really.